Translation. Udarana Datta Thakur, the 11th among the 12 cowherd boys, was an exalted devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda in all respects. I'll read that again. Udarana Datta Thakur, the 11th among the 12 cowherd boys, was an exalted devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda in all respects. Srila Prabhupada's purport, it is quite lengthy. In Agora Gonadesh Deepika, verse 129, states that Udarana Datta Thakur was formerly the cowherd boy of Vrindavan named Subahu. Udarana Datta Thakur, previously known as Sri Udarana Datta, was a resident of Saptagram, which is situated on the bank of the Saraswati River near Sri Sabiga railway station in the district of Hooghly. At the time of Udarana Datta Thakur, Saptagram was a very big town, encompassing many other places such as Vasudevpura, Bansabedia, Krishnapura, Nityanandapura, Shivapura, Shankarnagar, Saptagram. Calcutta was developed under British rule by the influential mercantile community and especially by Suvarnavani community who came down from Saptagram to establish their business and homes all over Calcutta. They were known as the Saptagram Mercantile Community of Calcutta, and most of them belonged to the Mulak and Seal families. More than half of Calcutta belonged to this community, as did Srila Udarana Thakur. Srila Prabhupada's talking about himself now. Our parental family also came from this district and belonged to the same community. The Mulaks of Calcutta are divided into two families, namely the Seal family and the Day family. All the Mulaks of the Day family originally belonged to the same family in Gotra. Srila Prabhupada's Abhay Charan Day. She's actually coming from this Gotra. We also formerly belonged to the branch of the Day family, whose members, intimately connected with the Mohammedan rulers, received the title Mulak. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Anchalila, chapter 6, it is said that Udarana Datta was an extremely elevated and liberal Vaishnava. He was born with the right to worship Lord Nityananda. It is also stated that Nityananda Prabhu, after staying for some time in Kahadaha, came to Saptagram and stayed in the house of Udarana Datta. The Suvarnavani community in which Udarana Datta belonged was actually a Vaishnav community. Its members were bankers and gold merchants. Suvarna means gold, and Vanik means merchant. Long ago, there was a misunderstanding between Bal Sain and the Suvarna community, Suvarnavani community, because of the great banker Gauri Sain. Bal Sain was taking loans from Gauri Sain and spending money extravagantly, and therefore Gauri Sain stopped supplying money. Bal Sain took revenge by instigating a social conspiracy to make the Suvarnavani outcasts, and since then they have been ostracized from the higher caste, namely Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. By the grace of Srila Nityananda Prabhu, the Suvarnavani community was again elevated. It is said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Yateka Vanik Kule Udarana Hoite Pavitran Hoila Didya Nahika Ihaite. There is no doubt that all the community members of the Suvarna Vanik Society were again purified by Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In Saptagram, there is still a temple with a six-armed deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that was personally worshipped by Srila Udarana Datta Thakur. On the right side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a deity of Lord Nityananda, and the left side, Gadadhar Prabhu. There are also a Radha Govinda deity and Shalagram Srila, and below the throne is a picture of Udarana Datta Thakur. In front of the temple, there is now a big hall, and in front of the hall is Madhavi Lata plant. The temple is in very shady, I'm sorry, I'm not, I'm sorry. The temple is in a very shady, cool, and nicely located area. When we returned from America in 1967, the executive committee's members of this temple invited us to visit it, and thus we had the opportunity to visit this temple with some American students. Formerly, in our childhood, we visited this temple with our parents because the members of the Suvarna Vinik community enthusiastically take interest in the temple of Udarana Datta Thakur. In the Bengali year 1283, when Babaji of the name Nittai Das arranged for a donation of 12 biggas of land for this temple, the management of the temple later deteriorated, but then in 1306, through the cooperation of the famous Balaram Mulik of Hooghly, who was a sub-judge, and many rich Suvarna Vinik community members, the management of the temple improved greatly. Not more than 50 years ago, one of the family members of Udarana Datta Thakur named Jagat Mohan Dat established the wooden deity of Udarana Datta Thakur in the temple. But that deity is no longer there. At present, a picture of Udarana Datta Thakur is worshipped. It is understood, however, that the wooden deity of Udarana Datta Thakur was taken away by Sri Madan Mohan Dat and is now being worshipped with a shalagram shila by Srinath Dat. You got all this? Okay. I don't. Anyway, maybe somebody does. Udarana Datta Thakur was the manager of the estate of the big Zamindra in Naihati, about 1.5 miles north of Katwa. The relics of this royal family are still visible near the Dainhatta station. Since Udarana Datta Thakur was the manager of the estate, it is also known as Udaranapura. Udarana Datta Thakur installed Nittai Gaur deities that were later brought to the house of a zamindar, which was known as Vanayoyari Bada. Srila Udarana Datta Thakur remained a householder throughout his life. His father's name was Sri Karadat, his mother's name was Bhadravati, and his son's name was Srinivas Dat. Hare Krishna. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadhar, Srivasari Gaur, Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Quite a detailed description of Udarana Datta Thakur, his history, his town, and some of the worship that's going on. Prabhupada very carefully makes a point of his relationship with this particular temple, visiting it with his devotees in 1967, and then, of course, he mentioned in his childhood he also went with his parents there. On a yatra at about, I think it was, somewhere in the year 1996, I think, we went to that temple with many devotees. Jai Sisi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Gaur Nittai Ki Jai. So we did a yatra throughout Bengal and many of the holy places, and we visited that place. And we were welcomed in the most amazing way by the pujaris and the caretakers of the temple. As Prabhupada said, he was also giving a very nice reception when he came. And I can remember when we came with about, maybe 1,000 devotees. There's a big, big, big pandal area right in front of the temple. And the temple sits up high with a large stone ledge, and then in front. And then there is a covering of the pandal area. And there's many deities there, as described here. So it's a very wonderful place. If you ever go on Parikram, that's a place you should visit. And Prabhupada also makes a nice point here that there is a connection between his family and, of course, the Mulluk families. There are two types of Mulluks, Seal Mulluk and Day Mulluk. And he, Prabhupada, mentions that he is from the line of the Day Mulluk family. Both are Mulluk families. So there is some connection through the Gotra lineage of Srila Prabhupada with this, actually this great personality, Udarana Datta Thakur. And he is, of course, a very intimate associate, one of the Gopals. There are 12 Gopals, 12 chief cowherd boys that constantly associate with Lord Nityananda and assist him in his transcendental pastimes. And we know that Lord Nityananda is Balaram, so he comes again in order to display his transcendental pastimes by bringing all his associates together and again performing, bringing Vrindavan to the world. When Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, this is after he took sannyas, every year he would take part in the Rath Yatra ceremony. And in that ceremony, there would always be a wonderful kirtan where Lord Chaitanya would dance with all his associates. And that would be the essence of the Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya and his associates dancing and chanting in front of Jagannath cart. One year, Lord Nityananda, who was preaching in Bengal, decided to come with all his gopals to join Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. And it's described very nicely. It was a beautiful, wonderful, loving exchange between these two brothers who are intimately associated eternally, Krishna and Balaram. To get into the philosophical history, there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram. The only difference is the color. But there is another difference. One day Srila Prabhupada was riding in his car with some of his associates, Tamal Krishna Goswami and Giriraj Maharaj and others. And Prabhupada was talking about Krishna and Balaram. And then he said, "Who is stronger, Krishna or Balaram?" So Giriraj Maharaj answered the question, "Krishna." Prabhupada said, "Why do you say Krishna?" "Because in our Krishna Balaram temple, Balaram is leaning his hand on Krishna's shoulder." Prabhupada said, "That is the answer." So, well, there's another difference, I think. But ultimately, there is no difference. So Prabhupada used that little, wonderful little cowherd boy pastime there to illustrate the relationship between these two eternal associates who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead coming to perform their activities in this world simply to attract our minds and hearts. The love between them cannot be described by anyone, even the greatest spiritual transcendentalist. So that intimacy of that love becomes so stronger that they want to be together. But Lord Chaitanya had a mission, and he wanted to spread his mission as widely as possible. So he asked Lord Nityananda to preach in Bengal, and he would go to Jagannath Puri. And so one year, Lord Nityananda, at a great separation, could not withstand the separation from Lord Chaitanya. So he had to come to see Lord Chaitanya just to be with him and take part of the Rath Yatra. So there was an intimate conversation at one point during that association, which no one really knows what they said to each other. But the essence was later understood that Lord Chaitanya said to Lord Nityananda, "You want to be with me, and I want to be with you. But we're here to bring the Yuga Dharma. So please take your gopas, all your associates, and return to Bengal and preach there." Lord Nityananda his heart somewhat broken, but accepting the instructions on his head as his life and soul, decided to go. Of course, it was difficult, but he led. So in leaving, it's described that he began kirtan. And in beginning kirtan, he was on his way back to Bengal, or into Navadvip area. And so they were chanting and dancing and chanting and dancing. It was a rip-roaring kirtan. And after traveling for some time, they realized, we're lost. We don't know where we're going. Which way is it to Navadvip? I don't know. Nobody knew. So they asked someone, which way is it? Hi, it's 6 miles that way. You have to go onto their road. So they changed directions. And then, of course, once they got on the road, they began kirtan again. Why go any place without chanting and dancing? At least some form of glorification of the Lord. So they were chanting and dancing and chanting and dancing and chanting and dancing and chanting and dancing. And again, they got lost. Not really. They were lost in a material sense, but spiritually they were not lost. But this is described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. As he describes it, again, they decided to ask directions. And again, they were told, 20 miles that way is the road along the Ganga. Take the road. The Ganga will take you to Navadvip. Okay. So they found, after redirecting themselves 20 miles, found the road and then went and continued on with their kirtan. Finally, they wound up right on the outskirts and in the house of Raghava Pandit with a rip-roaring kirtan with all his gopals. Raghava Pandit came out of his house and immediately offered a garland to Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda said, actually, I want a garland of Kadamba flowers. And Raghava Pandit said, Kadamba flowers? There's no Kadamba flower. This is not the season for Kadamba flowers. You go in your backyard and you just look and see if you can find some Kadamba flowers. So he went in his backyard and on the lemon tree, he found Kadamba flowers. So, of course, he was quite astonished, picked the flowers, made a beautiful garland, and offered to Lord Nityananda. And then, all of a sudden, everyone started to smell the aroma of Dhammanaka flowers. But Dhammanaka flowers are only found in the area of Puri. How is it possible that this aroma could be there? Everyone could understand. Lord Chaitanya was there, but he was not visible. Only Lord Nityananda and a few very intimate associates could actually see the presence of Lord Chaitanya. Because it says wherever Lord Nityananda dances, Lord Chaitanya is personally present. Like that. His dancing attracts the mind of Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya was also there, but was not seen by hardly one or two people. So then the kirtan went on. And on, and on. And this is described by Vrindavan Das Thakur in detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that this kirtan went on for 3 months. Yeah, it's not an exaggeration. For 3 months, solid, everyone chanted and danced in kirtan. This is Lord Nityananda. I mean, we did an hour almost. That was pretty good, huh? 3 months. Sometimes we do 6-7 days, and even that's nice. That's considered to be Maha Kirtan. But 3 months? I mean, you really have to be tasting the holy name. Completely oblivious or completely transcendental to any bodily needs. No one ate, no one drank. Everyone just continued to dance and chant for 3 consecutive months. And the kirtan became so powerful that the entire spiritual world became present there. And the energy of the spiritual world also manifested. So the devotees had such transcendental energy. They were dancing with trees. They were uprooting trees and dancing with it. Not big trees, but trees anyway. It's described that way. They were small trees. And they started dancing with the trees. And some of the devotees, as it's described, were dancing so ecstatically that they ran up the side of the tree, bigger trees, and then started to go all the way out to the ends of the branches and started to dance on the twigs. And the twigs were not breaking. This was completely transcendental. There was not an element of material energy anywhere. This went on for 3 consecutive months. And the devotees went mad. Sometimes in kirtans we get a little mad. Have you seen that? Devotees just start like fighting almost. That's a symptom of ecstasy. It comes out in different ways, you know, like we start just like, boom, ah, ha, and it's like, and I really get into the kirtan. It's this Prabhu here was leading kirtan, and I thought he was going to put a hole in the floor. Boom, boom. And I was just looking at the poor floor. But that's just, it's just ecstasy, you know. Just devotees just forget about all rules and regulations when they get into kirtan. It's just like becomes a... And some of the devotees were dancing in Lord Nityananda's kirtan. They were going out to the ends of the branches and jumping head first off the branch. One would describe, one devotee would say, "I am Angada!" Boom! You know, Angada was one of the monkey soldiers in Ram's army. And they were dancing and just jumping off. Total mad kirtan. And the villagers, this kirtan spread out to the villagers, and some of the children from the villages also came for the kirtan. And they were picking up little trees and also dancing with the trees. And it says that the villagers were dancing for 1 month. They forgot about eating. They forgot everything. This is Lord Nityananda's kirtan. Could you imagine? No. But we can try. So this is the power of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are still here. They're manifested in an unmanifested way, but their mercy is fully available through kirtan. It says, if you want to worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in this age, or if you want to worship Radha and Krishna, or if you want to worship the Lord, you must worship Gaur Nittai through the process of Harinam Sankirtan. This is the process in this age. Harinam Sankirtan is the Yuga Dharma and the not recommended, but highly prescribed method for self-realization and the way to approach Krishna in this age through chanting of his holy name. Kali Kale, Nama Rupa, Krishna Avatar. Kali Kale, in this age of Kali, Nam Rup, Rup, form, the form of the name is actually an avatar of Krishna. So Krishna is descended in this age in 2 forms, the deity and the holy name. But the deity is not as merciful as the holy name. Thank you. Saru Sangha, thank you. So this kirtan, then Lord Nityananda, taking that instruction on his head, went to Navadvip. Now, Lord Nityananda likes to dress nicely. Beautiful dark blue and different kinds of jewelry, beautiful garments, with a beautiful silver turban on his head, and he wears so much jewelry and ankle bells and bracelets and armlets, and he looks just like a jewelry store. I mean, he's just so much, he's just really decorated up. He doesn't fit into the category of renunciates. Of course, he's the most renounced. So he was taking his gopals and doing kirtan through the streets of Navadvip. One thief, he was the most popular and most dreaded of all thieves. His name was Chandan, I think his name was. And he had a band of thieves. Now, when he saw Lord Nityananda, he was thinking, wow, we can retire after this one. We'll capture that sadhu, we'll kill him and take all his wealth, and then we can, you know, we can retire. We wouldn't have to worry about being a thief anymore. We'll have enough to keep us for the rest of our life. So all his, you know, cohorts were also agreeing. So they made a plan. They had their weapons. And so they were thinking, he's staying at the house of Jagadish Pandit. So when it gets dark, we'll attack. So then that night, the Lord went along with his associates to the house of Jagadish Pandit. And the thieves were waiting, and finally it became dark. It became darker and darker and darker. And finally, all the thieves went to sleep. And then all of a sudden, they hear the crowing of a rooster. They woke up, it was the next morning. They looked at each other. They start criticizing each other. Chastai, you fell asleep. You were supposed to stay. No, you fell asleep. Actually, and then finally the head of the thief said, we didn't worship Chandi Devi. Therefore, she's not pleased. We should do puja to Chandi, and when we get her blessings, then our mission will be successful. Okay. So they worshiped Chandi very nicely. And so they waited again for the next night. So they were outside of the house of Jagadish Pandit. Lord Nityananda had retired for the day with his devotees taking prasad. But when they went, they looked. And around the house were these gigantic sentinels, sentries, you know, guys who carry rifles. They were big, but they had these big swords, and they were like, I don't know how many meters tall. Big guys, and they were just chanting and circulating the house, circumambulating the house. So the head of the thief said, it's not a good time. So they went back. But they came the next night. And now after 2 days of making plans, their eagerness was increasing even more. So finally after the third day, Lord Nityananda went to the house. And they were all planning. They were all ready to attack. And just as it started to get dark. And then it got darker and darker and got really dark. And then it started to rain. And it started to pour. And it was coming down in columns. And finally it turned into ice. And it was hail. And all these thieves were getting soaked. And they were getting pummeled by this hail. And they were suffering like crazy. And finally they decided to start to run. But it was so dark they didn't know where they were going. So one of them ran into a ditch and broke his leg. Another one went into a thorn bush and got stuck there and couldn't get out. Another one fell into a pit of garbage with all kinds of insects, and he was getting bit. And they were all screaming and yelling and crying. And they were so, and Indra wasn't letting up. He was just hitting him with all the hail, and they were just, I don't want to scream like that. Anyway, you can just imagine how much they were suffering. And finally, I mean, the head of the thieves, he started to understand, maybe this person is God. Somehow, the Lord did something to his heart where he became a little bit, reflective and started to understand, yes, this Nityananda must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as he thought like that, he became peaceful. When he thought like that, all the rain started to stop, the hail, and gradually the light came of day. All the thieves were just all broken and battered and in a pretty messy condition. They picked themselves up. The next night, the head of the thief decided to surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. He came. Now, Lord Nityananda was there with all his associates, and they were having a wonderful prasad. So when they came in, all of the associates understood, uh-oh, here's this thief, they realized. But Lord Nityananda remained very sober. Finally, the thief, with his heart full of remorse and his mind just overwhelmed with love for Lord Nityananda, fell at the feet of Lord Nityananda and prayed and begged, I'm so sorry, I didn't know who you were. I was planning to kill you and rob you. I'm just a wretched person. Please forgive me. Give me your mercy. Make me one of your associates. He was praying, crying. Lord Nityananda was just rubbing his head. It's okay. Don't worry. He treated him just like his son. And all the devotees were looking. They were kind of astonished to see how this display of humility. And finally, the Lord spoke to him and said, now you are purified from all your sinful activities. Now you should go out and preach Krishna consciousness to all the thieves and make them all devotees. Because he was the head of the thief, he had influence. So, of course, and he used his influence in a very persuasive way. So he actually converted all of the thieves in that area into become devotees of Lord Nityananda. So, this is a wonderful pastime. It's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat and also written in other places. The mercy of Lord Nityananda. Although Lord Nityananda was the object of the disc thieves' hatred and greed and actually wanted to kill him, Lord Nityananda forgave him. No, so much so that he actually made him a devotee. So they say that the mercy of the Lord is in the hands of those who are very dear to the Lord. Of course, Lord Nityananda is the Lord himself, but he's in the role of a servitor of the Lord. Although he is the Lord, he plays the role of servitor of the Lord. He is God who is serving. There's God who was being served and God who was serving. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no difference. Prajendra Nandanaye Sachi Sutta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai. There's no difference. Anyone who sees any difference between Balaram and Nityananda, it says they are a Pashyandi, atheist. Adibo. Pretty strong statement. But what is that saying? That actually these two personalities are the same, but the element of mercy is greater in Lord Nityananda. Balaram, if you got in his way, he'd kill you. And of course you got liberation. And that was his mercy. But Nityananda, even when Lord Chaitanya wanted to kill Jagai and Mani, Lord Nityananda didn't stop him. He said, in this age, you know, if we kill these people, we'll have to kill everybody because they're all like Jagais and Mudais. So, but our mission is to kill the mentality. And so he showed them mercy and actually made Jagai and Mudai, who were considered to be the most sinful like persons in that time, great devotees of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada, coming in the line of Lord Nityananda here, Lord Nityananda's associate, is the mercy incarnation of Lord Nityananda. He actually carries Lord Nityananda's mercy with him. And there are many examples how Prabhupada showed such great mercy to the most unqualified by allowing them to perform devotional service. There's a beautiful story where one devotee was visiting one of our temples. This was in America. And he would come, and then he would cause some trouble. And then after a while, he would be asked to leave. And then he'd come back, and he apologized and said, give me a second chance. I just want to be a devotee. And so he would come back. They'd give him another chance. And then again, he'd do some more mischief. And then they would throw him out again. So this happened 3 or 4 times. And each time he would come back with apologies. So one time Prabhupada was there, and he had just come back, and one of the senior devotees says, we're not going to let him back. And they were telling Prabhupada about it. And Prabhupada says, we can't do that. Lord Nityananda is so merciful. He's allowing even the Jagai. We should give him another chance. Of course, if he misbehaves, then he has to leave. But let's give him a chance. Prabhupada had that quality where he could see the most unlikely people to be devotees, to see a little bit of an element of bhakti in their mind. He would fan that bhakti and turn it into something wonderful. And that was Srila Prabhupada. He's actually a carrier of Lord Nityananda's mercy. So, and when we speak about mercy, there is no more greater embodiment of mercy than Sri Nityananda. Of course, we say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. But Mahaprabhu can be very strict, but he's also merciful. Actually, he is the reservoir of all mercy. He gives his mercy to Lord Nityananda to distribute. Just like if you want to approach Krishna, you have to get the mercy of Srimati Radharani. One cannot get the direct association of the Lord until one qualifies to receive the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And Prabhupada writes that. When he came over on the Jaladuta, he wrote a beautiful song, Radharani Kusi Habi. When Radharani is pleased with you, then your devotional service is perfect. So we seek the mercy of Radharani through the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nohiyanya. So Radha and Krishna have become one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Radharani's mercy has been manifested in Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu takes that mercy and gives it to Nityananda and says, you distribute it. So we fall at the feet of Lord Nityananda and beg for his mercy. And how to please Gaura Nithai is very easy. All you have to do is two things. Perform kirtan. And one thing you should not do is find fault with Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya says, I give my full mercy to anyone who does these two things, engages in Harinam Sankirtan, and doesn't criticize devotees, doesn't find fault with devotees. Adosha Darshi. Darshi means to see. Dosha means fault. Adosha means no faults. One who does not see any faults in others. How is it possible not to see faults? Does that mean we should drop our intelligence? And our intelligence sometimes sees things that we take exception. But there's four ways to react to a situation according to one's level of consciousness. And I'll mention the four ways. Those who see faults immediately should look for good qualities. Because when you see a fault, you can also find the result. Everyone has good qualities. And we might also say there may be faults also. Seeing the faults means not seeing the faults. Just look for the good qualities. Focus on that. Higher than that is to see a person's faults as potential good qualities. In other words, they may be very passionate by nature. A person might say, oh, that passionate nature is their enthusiasm for service. That would be an example. To see a person's faults, or is really, faults are simply good qualities covered over by the material energy. So looking beyond that covering and seeing the good quality, higher than that, is to see only good qualities. Yeah. To see only good qualities, not see any faults at all. And higher than that is to see faults as good. No, there's another one higher than that. I can't remember. But there's four ways to see. The highest is the Mahabhagavat. He sees everyone better than him. Oh, he sees a fault as a good quality, yes. That is the highest. That's Mahabhagavat. Of course, we can't surreptitiously or pretentiously act on that platform because that would be artificial. But there's those on that level of consciousness where they see themselves as the lowest of the low, and they see everyone, even the demons, they see as serving the Lord. They see the demons serving the Maya energy, and Maya is a pure devotee, so they're pure devotees of a pure devotee. Right? Makes sense. Maya is a pure devotee. She's, the material energy personified. So her followers are the materialists, and they're the best followers are the demons. They're Maya's cherished crew, the demons. So to see the demons as actually better than me as a devotee, that's the consciousness of a Mahabhagavat. But on our platform, We make that distinction. There's faults, there's good qualities, just see the good qualities. And if you only look for good qualities in a and you'll only see good qualities. You'll never start to see, the faults will start to disappear. Because faults are just projections of our own consciousness onto someone else, really. I mean, there might be obvious faults in the case of behavior. That's a consideration. But in general, we usually project our own consciousness. Therefore, a Vaishnava always sees everyone having good qualities. And that way, he remains peaceful and happy. Bhakti Siddhanta, we mentioned this in the class the other day. Bhakti Siddhanta says, when the faults in others disturb you, he says, look within yourself, see what is causing that disturbance, and correct that. Don't try to correct the other person, but try to correct yourself, and then there's no longer a disturbance. Or try to be transcendental to that disturbance. So Mahaprabhu is very merciful, but he doesn't tolerate Vaishnav aparat, finding faults with others. So therefore, if one wants to chant the holy names of the Lord, one must take this instruction seriously on their head and chant the holy names of the Lord. And then the holy name of the Lord will resonate within your hearts and minds. Like that. A Vaishnava is a dosha darshi, doesn't see faults in others like that. Lord Nityananda, although he was being attacked, or apparently being attacked by Jagai and Madhyananda, he didn't see any faults in them. He saw them as an opportunity to give someone Krishna conscious. And he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He had the power just to, you know, destroy them right on the spot. And no one would have criticized him for doing that. But that wasn't his mood. He wanted to give mercy. That mercy which would give them a chance to engage in devotional service. So this section is all about the associates of Lord Nityananda. They're all glorious. They're just as glorious as the Lord himself. And if we take pilgrimage to these holy places, Navadvip Mandala Parikram is coming up from March 12th to March 18th, I think it is. I think it's the dates. So if you're in Navadvip, you can go on the Parikram and visit many of these holy places of the associates of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, like that, and get their mercy. Any questions or comments? Lord Nityananda,